Welcome to Run With It, Canada's running fitness and health program. On this month's episode, we have back on the show Dr. Bob Weil from Chicago for the Sports Doctor Is In segment. Plus, we have Sun Run coverage, so stay tuned for that. But first, let's go to Doctor's Corner. Check this out. I'm excited to have back on the show on Doctor's Corner is Dr. Hélène Brutren. She is a retired family physician and who has spent the last 10 years concentrating on treating pain. She's back on Doctor's Corner to talk about how we can protect our backs. And for runners out there, this is a great opportunity to listen in to Dr. Brutren. Welcome back.
Well, it's very nice to be back with you, Christine.
Yes. So how, like, I understand running is a forward motion. Like, is that true? And does it affect your back?
Well, running is a forward motion, and the way it affects your back most is if you are running downhill. Because when you run downhill, the foot has to travel further before it hits the ground. And when the foot hits the ground, that sends a shockwave all the way up your leg until it reaches this pelvic bone. And when it reaches this, you see, this, your thigh joint, your hip joint is right inside that pelvic bone. So if, when your foot hits the ground from going downhill, it hits it from much higher distance. There's a greater distance and there's a greater shock to that bone. And if you look at this bone, you'll see this joint, you'll see that it's essentially an irregular joint. And if you strain it, you're going to have pain in your back. That's where the back pain that runners experience comes from. It doesn't come from your spine, because the shock of running is absorbed by this joint here. So yes, running, if you're forward, it's going to, if you're leaning forward because you're going down a hill, that's going to be more of a shock to your back.
Wow. And so what are some tips then to protect your back?
Well, it depends. I mean, like I would run uphill rather than running downhill.
It's harder.
But, you know, like you've got things like in Vancouver, we have the Grouse Grind. So if you're running up the Grouse Grind and you come down by the cable car, then you're protecting your back, actually. So it's because there's much less distance for your foot to travel when you're going uphill than when you're going downhill. You could run barefoot, because when you're running barefoot, the skin of your foot is the cushioning you've got under your foot actually helps to cushion the blow of your running. You can run on tiptoes rather than running on your heels, because when your heel hits the ground, it's the shock is transmitted directly to your back.
Joining me today is Vancouver Sun Run race director Tim Hopkins, and he's here today to talk about this year's Vancouver Sun Run. Welcome, Tim.
Glad to be here.
Yes, and I'm so excited that the Sun Run's going to be in person this year.
Yeah, I think we're all excited. It's amazing to be out here in beautiful English Bay and part of the Sun Run running course, and
yes,
great to be talking about doing it in person again.
Yes, and is this the 4K marker?
Roughly around 3.5, yeah.
3.5. Wow, it's beautiful. And now, this is your 18th year as a race director?
It is my 18th year, yeah.
Wow, and it's the 38th annual Vancouver Sun Run.
Correct.
So how excited are you to be doing it in person and having it virtual as well?
We have a virtual option. Right now, we're trending to have more participants in the in-person event, which is great. With everything opening up again, we're expecting a great turnout.
Good, good. And so what can people expect this year's Sun Run?
Well, we do have a new course, which goes around Olympic Village as opposed to over the Cambie Street Bridge. And we run down Denman Street through the West End as opposed to into Stanley Park. So there's small changes, but, you know, we'll have 16 bands on the course and the entertainment at the start line. We'll be back inside BC Place Stadium with entertainment as well.
Yeah, so fitness entertainment, right? It keeps you moving. So it's for everybody, right? For all levels of abilities.
Absolutely. We really want to have new time, first-time participants come out, new runners come out. We have a walking division for those that aren't interested in running. We have a lot of... you know, people that have come back 20, 25, 30 years, and once they start doing the Sun Run, they love to do it year over year. We have corporate teams, youth teams, just people love the sort of coming of spring and the first running event of the season, and the Sun Run's a great event to start your running career.
Yes, and community fun for everyone.
Absolutely.
Yes, and if people can't do the distance, is there a mini Sun Run?
Absolutely, the Shaw Mini Sun Run is 2.5K, and it starts the same morning, but an hour earlier. So there's lots of families that actually go and do the 2.5K together, and then they come up to the start line, and mom or dad will do the full 10K after.
Wow, that's great. And so tell us about, I understand there's a hybrid event too?
Yes, with the success of last year's virtual event, we did medals for participants who did the virtual, and some people expressed an interest in wanting to continue with the medals. So people can do the in-person and then do as well a virtual 10K over 10 days, and they'll receive a medal as part of doing the hybrid option.
Yes, and you'll get a shirt too, and there's a wrap-up party for in-person.
Yeah, absolutely. We do our expo at BC Place Stadium and then our post-event inside BC Place Stadium, and there'll be sponsors in there giving out stuff, and we'll be just doing the usual fun. Come in, meet with your friends, your teammates, listen to the bands, socialize, have fun, and celebrate the great day of running 10K in Vancouver.
Wow. And Tim, tell us about this sustainability program.
Yeah, as always, we want to try and do our best to leave as little impact on the environment. We've worked with a company that helps us recycle all our cups at the water stations, any materials that we use. We basically try and divert from the landfill. So the last few years that we did in-person events, we were between 95 and 98% diversion rate. So it's an important part of our event as well.
Right. And tell us who's involved this year in the Vancouver Sun Run.
Well, we've got a great new title sponsor in Subway Restaurant Canada. They've come on board this year. Of course, the Vancouver Sun, who's been part of it since day one. And then we have a whole list of other partners that have been with a long time. Trevor Linden, Club 16 Fitness, Shaw, you name it. There are so many corporate supporters that come out year over year.
That's wonderful. And is there clothing you can, you know, use clothing section?
We collect clothing at the start line.
Yes.
So one of the things that people often do is bring down clothes to stay warm at the start line. As soon as they get to the start, they end up taking those clothes off, and the Salvation Army will come in and collect the clothes.
Great. And the Sun Run is when?
It's April 24th.
Yes. And the virtual is?
The virtual starts basically the April 14th to the 24th.
And to register, where can they go?
They can go to VancouverSunrun.com, and all the registration information is there. We register right up till Saturday, April 23rd.
Great. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining me is Dr. Bob Weil, and he's here back on the show to talk about the Sports Doctor Is In segment. This month, we'll be talking about his article, Surviving High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. Welcome back, Dr. Bob.
Hey, Christine. It's always great to be with you. We're excited about our The Sports Doctor's In segment with your Run With It show. And, you know, today we're sharing a topic that's been one of my hottest articles on and off for years, which has again been the challenge of high heel shoes. And the fact that there are proactive things that can be done to make it safer, much better tolerated, and not cause sometimes the problems where we would see women patients all the time in podiatry and sports podiatry who were business women, stylish women. And, you know, high heels were something that I think was over the millennium, was designed by men, and they didn't have to wear them, you know. So they could make them as stiletto and as high and as aggressive as they might want. So we want to let the women know that there are some smart strategies to pay a big attention to regarding whether we are understanding that we're putting extra pressure on the ball of the foot. Once we start lifting up the heel, especially once we get up to an inch and a half or higher, we are starting to really put excessive pressure on the ball of the foot. So if women have problems with the ball of the foot to begin with, whether it's calluses or other kinds of concerns, this is something that we want to be able to pay attention to. We also want to pay attention to the room that the ball of the foot has in heels. Often the toes are pointy, they jam the toes together. So women who have bunion problems, women who have hammer toe problems, these areas are easily aggravated. So we tell women, pay attention to having a toe box that's as accommodating, deep, or wide as possible, or it might be an open toe, like I'm showing you, even with some padding on the ball of the foot, so that we don't have so much pressure on the ball of the foot. Once we start raising again that heel height to an inch and a half, 2 inches or higher, you're changing the whole posture. You're putting excessive pressure on your core, on your knees, on your hips. So again, women who've got history or concern of trouble with their knees or low back or hips or arthritis concerns have to understand that this is going to put different and extra pressure on those areas of the body. So we get back to exercise, strengthening the core and midsection, paying attention to doing it. Doesn't mean you got to be a gym rat. It just means that strengthening the thighs, paying attention, foot ankle, rubber band type strengthening, balance work. Imagine yourself balancing on a tilt board. Imagine yourself standing on the Bosu where you're creating imbalance and you're really working. One of my favorite pieces of equipment is the sand dune stepper where it simulates being on the sand on the beach and you're working those toes and all of those gripping muscles. So the article pays attention to a woman being aware that we can create all sorts of problems or exacerbate them. When I would see young women, European women, who grew up in heels through their adolescence and wore them routinely, and all of a sudden years later wanted to play golf, wanted to become runners, wanted to play tennis, all of a sudden we would see calf problems, Achilles tendon, because they actually had shortening of the calf area from living forever in heels. So another pearl for the ladies is alternate heel height. Don't be married to one specific heel height. And again, don't be leery of getting podiatry input with your particular foot type, ball of the foot, whether you got corns or calluses, these kinds of things. Also chiropractic or physical therapy input where we're talking about strengthening. But those are the things that we want people to be aware of, which is it changes your whole posture, puts a lot of pressure in areas that you might not be used to, like your knees or low back. The popular item that I have in the world of orthotics is dress orthotics. Now, we might be putting orthotics that take up the whole sneaker, that replace the insole in your walking or running shoe for sports. But for that same lady, we might be using the type of orthotic like we put in a figure skate, which is much smaller, much narrower, can be Velcroed in the particular shoe. So I can't tell you what a popular item of dress orthotics are for women who don't want to live in sneakers yet, who get great benefit from orthotics. So the high heels are a challenge, Christine.
Yes. And what about wedged heels, like alternate, as you were saying, right?
Exactly. Here's another point that you mentioned. Some sort of base on the bottom of the heel, some structure, not a stiletto heel, which could be much more unstable, is recommended. So the closer you can get into a wedge, the more stability you're going to have. And with some extremes that we see where we're raising all sorts of, again, the center of gravity, you've got to be careful and try to mix up those types of variables, especially if you've had your share of problems in the past. We want you to be aware of the fact that is now, especially again, stylish women can be wearing heels, 5-6 days a week.
Yes. And, it doesn't affect every woman, right? It depends on if you're a runner like myself, if you're wearing high heels all the time. But if you're not someone who wears a lot of high heels, then you should be okay, right?
You should be okay, but you want to be aware of the fact that women's shoes often are junk. They don't have any kind of stability. They don't have any kind of support. They can cost $300 because of the style and the brand, or more expensive. I remember I had a gal, she was a very serious walker, serious golfer, and she was a very stylish lady in the world of salons. And we talked about putting a dress orthotic in her 2-inch heels, her leopard skin heels. And when she didn't have enough room, I said, pull the insole out. She said, Dr. Weil, what are you, out of your mind? You want me to pull the insoles out? So as a rule, again, women's shoes leave a lot to be desired. But again, we put dress orthotics in boots. We put dress orthotics in flats, in loafers. So when we see orthotics are helpful for your knees, your feet, your ankles, your back, and when done properly, they almost always are, then often we'll see, it's not that there aren't women who use orthotics only to run or only in their sports shoes. That's the case. But if orthotics help posturally, and we see that, Dr. Weil, I'm in my sports shoes just to work out or just to run, what about the rest of my life? And this is sometimes when we'll bring into the addition some type of device that will easily be Velcroed. I have professional dancers and they color code the white orthotics what matches their outfits. Right.
I mean, do you have like any stats, Dr. Bob?
50% of women who are wearing heels, number one, aren't even fit properly. They're looking at style. They're willing to compromise. Sarah Jessica Parker, famous Sex in the City. And she talked about, she had her own shoe brand and she made famous on those shows. And pardon my phone. And she said, if I knew then what I know now about the kinds of problems, but I would have backed off with some of these different shoes. So 50% of women who wear heels have trouble, have concerns. Their feet bother them. They cause trouble. So if that statistic is even close, then this is why the feedback of a podiatrist who could pay attention to your feet and your particular foot mechanics can give you some helpful advice when we're talking again about the using of padding, maintenance. Women who have corns or calluses, I might see them every couple of months, trim the corns or calluses, keep them comfortable, and they're much more comfortable in their shoes. So the statistic is, again, at least 50% where we see some sort of concerns or problems. And this is why being proactive and being aware of some of these concerns is what we're trying to add to the mix here. Hey, we're trying to run with it, Christine.
Yes, yeah, we are. And, so to recap, do exercises, get properly fitted, and alternate between your shoes. And so what exercise would you suggest, Dr. Bob? Like how often?
If you do 2-3 times a week doing some rubber band exercises to strengthen your ankles, you'll change your life. Even if you're a runner and you're not wearing heels, if you will add strengthening your feet and ankles and add doing balance work, whether you're balancing on a mini tram, whether you're on tilt boards, these are the kinds of exercises that will strengthen your whole posture. And so whether it is your feet and ankles that slip into the shoes that you're concentrating in, or all the areas above, I keep going back, to the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, in my chapter on the two essential exercises. Now, I'm talking about kids in that chapter, whatever their sport age or level is, but I'm talking to you, which is if you want to tolerate the heels, let alone be dancing in them or being active, then you really want to strengthen. And doing some simple rubber band exercises and doing some balance work where you are incorporating those into your workouts can make a tremendous difference in staying out of trouble.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Bob. And where can people reach you?
You know, if they go to my website, Christine, sportsdoctorradio.com, they could go over to radio shows. They go back years. They could probably catch a half a dozen shows you've done with me. If they go to newspaper articles and magazines, they can read an array of articles on everything from concussions to proper shoes to all the exciting things we're doing with MVP Parent and Lower Extremity Review Magazine. We have thousands and thousands of followers. I get a lot of guests from Twitter and LinkedIn. At SportsDoc, D-O-C, radio, you can jump right in on Twitter. But SportsDoctorRadio.com, Christine, will get you to wherever you want to go. And I always look forward to our segments with you. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bob. It was great. Can't wait till next month.
Thanks, Christine.
Thanks for watching. If you have a question or comment for today's episode, go to our website, which is runwithit.ca. Until next time, run with it.